It is another Saturday in CCO Land when we talk cars, more specifically problems with yours, your car, your truck, your van, and if you need to bring yours in for service. But ahead of that, you want to know what could be wrong, what could be ailing. Why don't you give Nick Stoffel a text or a call? Nick happens to be an ASC certified technician who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. He'd be glad to help you out via text or call. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How was your week?
It was a good week. You know, it cooled down a little bit, so it was a little nicer to be outside, and we're still plenty busy, so there's no problems there, and just going to enjoy the nice weekend.
And it's going to be nice, really nice, the next few days, really cooler, a lot cooler. In fact, we're at 55 right now, so it's fresh this morning. We can call it fresh. But I noticed that in my vehicle that sitting outside in cooler nights, I noticed, I know this may be a harbinger of things to come winter-wise, but the tire pressure, even though it's, you know, summertime, I noticed that it's getting cold, closer to that, what would you call that? That cold cold temperature, the PSI, that's whatever they call that.
What happens, as you know, and as it cools and that air gets colder, it gets a little bit lighter because the molecules are moving slower, so that pressure in our tires will adjust. And, you know, we're not quite there yet, but in a couple of months here, people will be calling up saying, my tire light is on. And I drive it on the way to the shop, it went off. Well, it's because as you lose just 1 or 2 pounds, it might be just enough to trigger that sensor in one of those wheels that'll turn that light on. And we see it every fall. It's kind of part of the winter's coming, so get ready. The tire light popped on so you can adjust your tire pressures.
Now, we've talked about this a dozen times. If you want to know what your tire pressure should be cold, you know, before you get underway, you can look right in that, what would you call that, the door jamb or the post, like you open the driver's door and you see all this information there?
Correct. It's in the owner's manual also, but it,
yeah, that's
places, true. Open the driver's door right at the base of the door, kind of like you said, that door jamb there. You'll see like a placard there, and it'll have a lot of information, but you'll see something that say cold PSI, and that's the tire pressure when the car is sitting there. It will adjust a couple, few PSI at the most after you drive it for a while. So it's kind of a guideline. You know, you don't have to be right exactly at that 31 or 34 or whatever it says. But if you're within a pound or two, you're probably just fine.
Is it wise to not overinflate your tires, but, you know, for kind of rolling, whatever they call that, constriction, you know, for ease of rolling, should tires be inflated a little more than what it's supposed to be? You know what I'm getting at.
No, absolutely. It depends. You know, a couple PSI you probably don't notice. You get any more than that, and then the ride of the vehicle might change. It might feel like it's harsher or a little more bumpier as you go down the road. You definitely don't want to overinflate them. You definitely don't want to be 10 pounds over what that placard says. But if you're, you know, 2, 3, 4 pounds, I don't think that makes much of a difference. One thing that'll help is that, you know, as it gets the cycling of the hot and cold, you probably don't have to worry about that tire light coming on as easy. So I would personally go a couple pounds more than what that placard says, just to avoid that annoyance of that light popping out when you start driving in the morning.
Yeah, it's a good idea. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to call and chat with Nick, great. If you want to just send a text like some folks are doing, that'd be great too. Here's the number for either 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, we always like to say we like to hear from you earlier, sooner rather than later, because Nick will be taking his leave about 30 minutes from now. Our time goes by rather quickly. So call us, text us, either way, 651-461-9226, whatever car care question might be on your mind. Here's one, text-wise. My car is used mostly for city driving. Should I take it out on the highway or freeway on occasion? That's a good question.
I think that's a good idea. You know, it's you want to try to use most of the systems in the vehicle, you know. So even it's if it's summertime, maybe you're not doing as much highway driving or wintertime, however that goes. But if you're getting it up to speed, that allows the engine transmission to cycle through all the gears, get the engine RPM get a little bit higher, a little sustained load, Helps exhaust heat all the way through, which will burn off all that condensation. Because if you're doing short trips, as that engine's running, it creates moisture. And if that moisture doesn't get a chance to burn off, it's going to stay in the exhaust, which can create some rust. So I think it is a good idea every so often to get out on the highway and let the car, you know, spread its wings a little bit and clear a few things out.
Okay, very good. We're going to break here in a moment, but I want to grab
Let the car, you know, spread its wings a little bit and clear a few things out.
Okay, very good. We're going to break here in a moment, but I want to grab another text. Our 2017 Jeep is stored all winter. Should I pull the battery and hook up the trickle charger or leave it in the car and connect the charger?
It's probably a lot easier just to leave it in the vehicle. You don't have to worry about the hardware, how to reassemble it. You know, if it's a somewhat of a climate-controlled environment, if it's an attached garage or something like that, you're probably a little bit better off. But and don't use like a charger, just one of those little trickle maintainers where it's kind of floating with an amp or so just to kind of maintain the battery. I wouldn't leave like a real battery charger on a vehicle unattended for a long period of time. But that's probably the easiest thing is a little battery tender. Leave it in the vehicle, and it'll be fine.
Here we are, Nick, August 10th, and we're talking about storing vehicles for the winter. Oh, well, it's good information, however. I'll tell you what, let's do this. I'm getting a signal we need to take a break. So let's do this, invite our listeners to join in. Any kind of a car question, we'd love to hear from you. If you drive and you have problems with your car, your truck, your van, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. 55 degrees in the Twin Cities on our way to near 72. It's going to be a nice day today. 78 tomorrow here in the Twin Cities. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, answering any kind of a car care question that might be on your mind. Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive, is answering those questions. Nick, for those that may be down the road, pardon the expression, might need the help of all your technicians and you at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yeah, if you ever have a question, need advice or guidance the best we can, give us a call, 651-228-1316. If you're on Grand Avenue, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. That's 982 Grand. And as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll get you that information just before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. I'd like to thank a listener who has helped me because I was looking as far as the tires. Denny, the word you were looking for was rolling resistance. Yes, that is the phrase. Thank you for reminding me of that. Another text, Nick, says this. I have a 2021 Honda Accord. If I put my fingers in the exhaust pipe, there's a black substance. Does this mean my car is running rich, and is it a problem?
A little bit's not, and you know, it's hard to gauge it. Usually, if there's an issue, we'll see that black soot make its way to the bumper or, like, it's very significant. So there's going to be some, you know, you're burning fuel. There's going to be a little bit of carbon. There's going to be some of the, a little bit of that blackness. It'll be coated. I doubt it's an issue. And quite honestly, if the vehicle is running that rich, you would have a check engine light to accompany that soot. So I'm sure it's just normal. I wouldn't be worried.
All right. Very good. Again, 651-461-9226. Another text. Cruise control on my 2021 Dodge Ram works sometimes, but other times won't work. What could be causing this?
You know, likely there's an input. You know, the computer's monitoring a lot of different inputs. You know, cruise control is a nice luxury and a nice feature, but it's also something they want to control because you don't want it to have it not shut off or accelerate or have some sort of issue with it. So the first thing we would do is check the history in the computer to see if there's any data or any codes letting us know that there's one of these sensors that's misreading that intermittently might create that where it's not working. So I would, next time you're in for service or whatever you have going on the vehicle, have them check for history codes, see if there's something that could affect the cruise control, and I would start there.
Okay. Listener says this via text. Hi, I have a 2012 Lexus ES350. Which has developed a, quote, tweeting noise after starting it cold in the morning. I lifted the hood, and the tweeting is on the passenger side, but I cannot see what equipment is beneath it. The noise does disappear after driving a couple of minutes. Do you have any thoughts about what that could be?
Usually, you know, something rotating, maybe it's a belt or an idler pulley, you know, obviously without hearing it, it's just a guess. But we deal with this all the time, and, you know, most shops do. It's a struggle, and, you know, when you make the appointment, you get there, the noise is gone, so maybe the solution is to drop it at the shop the night before so they can be the first folks to start it in the morning and be able to hear that and pinpoint that. I mean, we'll literally have the car up in the air and have a long screwdriver, a stethoscope, and kind of pointing to different areas and trying to pinpoint that, because noises will kind of bounce around under the hood. You know, you might think it's in one corner, then it's in the other, and sometimes you're chasing your tail a bit. But I would suggest dropping it the night before, have them start a cold, and hopefully they can find the source of the noise.
I wonder how many people, and we talk about this from time to time, and I probably am just as guilty as anybody. I wonder how many of us check our oil, you know, from time to time.
Yeah, none of us probably, very few.
Yeah.
Well, remember, you'd go to the filling station, you'd see people checking oil and tires,
yeah,
and, you know, things
cleaning your windshield.
Yeah, I mean, things have gotten, we've gotten so comfortable in assuming that the car's going to tell us, and for the most part, the cars do let us know what's going on, but it's not a bad idea to check the oil or walk around the vehicle when it's filling up, you know. Open the hood, make sure there's, you know, no debris or a nest or, you know, anything. You know, it's just, you know, cars are very expensive. We rely on them more than we realize, and if we can avoid any kind of mishap, it's probably in our favor.
I'm looking at another text before we get to it. I took the advantage of this nice, fresh, cool weather, and I washed and waxed. I suppose you could call it kind of a minor detail job on my car yesterday. Perfect day for it. It wasn't windy. It wasn't humid. It was, you know, cool, especially in the shade. And I was thinking, and then a listener sent a text about, and I'm thinking this too, cleaning my engine. I thought, well, I know you guys do that at Lloyd's, but can the homeowner safely, I'm not about to try that. I'd probably leave it up to you guys, but can a homeowner do that? I mean, a do-it-yourselfer.
You can. You know, my hesitation is, you know, don't take a pressure washer under the hood. You got to know where you can and cannot spray water directly. Obviously, a lot of things are going to get wet, but we don't want to get air or water into that air intake. We don't want water getting into the engine. Some of the electronics, you know, things are made pretty hardy. You know, we live in a climate where, you know, everything falls out of the sky and it comes up from underneath. But that doesn't mean that it's designed to have you just picking the garden hose and just hosing things down. So if you're comfortable, you're going to, you know, rinse it down, wipe it down. You know, it's a simple process. Yes, you can handle it. But I just would be very careful. If I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm spraying water, I'd probably not advise doing that.
Nick, would you ever use some kind of a degreaser at all?
If you have a floor drain or for a place for it to go, because
you've got
to remember that residue will be left on the driveway and, you know, or in your garage, and you're not going to want that. So, you know, at the shop, we have floor drains. We have a trap, so it collects all that stuff so it doesn't just flow away. You know, and you can, there's some stuff that's a little more environmental friendly, you know, that you can probably try. But I would make sure you only use products as they're intended, as we've talked in the past about the headlights and other things. So, you know, I would do a little research. You know, obviously you want it to look nice and clean under the hood. There's probably some light detergent that you can put on there that, you know, that's just almost like soap, you know, and a nice rinse, and maybe you can wipe it down or dry it down, make it look nice and fresh again. No problem there. Just be careful not to go too far.
All right. Tell you what, let's take a break for that forecast, see what the weather's going to be like the next few days and the rest of this weekend. Nick's going to be with us for about another 15 minutes or so, so don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226, either a phone call or a text. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, again answering all of those car care questions. He'll be with us for a few more minutes. Nick, I'm looking at a text interesting question. Would a shop like Lloyd's, Texter says, ever do welding to prolong the life of an older car rather than replace it with expensive new parts?
Well, that's a big maybe. You know, we're not going to get into like welding a frame, anything safety related. We'd refer you to like a frame shop, you know, because we just don't have the expertise or the tooling. But you know, we do weld exhaust and some other items in areas that do need repair and to help prolong the life. So that's a maybe. You know, you can check with your local shop and probably not a dealership. That's probably not what their path or their expertise. But you can all look online. There are frame shops, if that's where the issue lies, around town here that can probably help and get a look and an assessment, do a patch tray or whatever might be needed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good question. 2008 Toyota Sienna, Texter writes, with a moonroof that is leaking into the interior. Texter says, I've looked for the drain hole and line to clean them, but I can't locate them. The manual doesn't provide any information. Do you have any suggestions?
Typically, there's a drain in each corner. Most vehicles, that drain will, like, the drain will go from the corner and kind of down the pillar between the windshield and the driver's door and passenger door. And at the base or somewhere in the door jamb, you'll see a little rubber hose or fitting sticking out that will allow it to drain that debris or water, whatever might be in there. My advice, though, is as far as I would tell a listener is, you know, you can get the sunroof, moonroof open, kind of clean all the debris around there. There's a rubber seal that kind of helps protect it and keep the wind noise and the water out. Make sure that's good and clean. I would advise you not to force air through there. Reason being, if there is a restriction there and you blow too hard, you might blow that hose off. And then you'd go from having a little bit of water coming in through the headliner to a lot of water. So if you can clean it, try to get any debris out of there, even take a cup of water and kind of pour it as you're standing there watching and see where the water is going. And if it's making its way to that little hole and it's not going away, I'd probably, best advice is call your repair shop, have them take a look at it, because you don't want to create a bigger problem in that situation.
And you guys have done that from time to time at Lloyd's, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. And there's different makes and models over the years where they had some issues with those drains. And there's been some repairs and some improvements to kind of prevent that. But, you know, as the seasons change and there's more stuff falling out of these trees, you'll see that there's a lot more of those types of concerns because a lot of debris will collect in there and kind of plug it up.
Speaking of that, and I know we've addressed this in past shows, as far as that area by the windshield wipers outside, should that be like shop vac'd or cleaned out from time to time? I look at mine and I thought, wait, there's stuff collecting in there.
You know, absolutely. And even go as far as opening the hood, and then you have the area on the outside and then the area just on the inside of the hood at that same base. A lot of times that's where the air intake is for your air conditioning and your heating. So if there's a lot of debris there that's kind of breaking down or decomposing, you might create a bit of a smell on the air coming into the vehicle. You can also restrict air flow, so you might not have a good blowing air coming through it, whether it be heat or air conditioning. So, you know, these little things, you know, back to when you're filling up the car with fuel and you're sitting there, you know, walk around the car, look at the base of the windshield, open the hood, check the oil, look at the inside of that cowl area. If there's any debris, just, you know, pick it up and throw it in the trash can.
Hey, there's an idea. Check the oil. Kind of what we talked about at the beginning of the show. Now, here is a topic we've talked about a number of times. This referring to a VW, but asking, will the oil last 10,000 miles? Well, we hear a lot of that no matter what who the manufacturer is. What do you think, personally? I know what you're going to say, but 10,000 miles before you change oil, what's your opinion of that?
I believe that the oils and the engineers are smarter than you and I both, and I believe that they can prove that it can do that and last that length. I also know from my first world experience, being in a shop every day, that we do a lot more mechanical type repairs because of oil. I think if you run a synthetic oil, I think 5,000 miles is kind of the threshold. If you're still using conventional oil, it's probably 3,000 miles. We just do so much timing work on these engines because of lubrication and heat and sludge and all these things that can happen from that extensive length. So, you know, do what's best for you, obviously, but I can't stressed enough, I think the simplest thing you can do for your car is change the oil. And if you look over the life of a vehicle or over a couple of years, it's an extra oil change or two, so it's not going to break the bank, but it'll make your car very happy and help it last a lot longer.
Oh, yeah. That's cheap maintenance for sure. Well, what have you seen in your experience or the guys there at Lloyd's as far as people maybe not changing the oil either ever or not for a real long period of time? What does that oil look like?
It looks like you left the coffee on and didn't shut off the coffee pot. You know, it's just, and you can't clean it. I mean, you can, you know, that's the next problem. So you have this, you take the valve cover off, you have all the sludge, but if you start trying to remove that, now you're at the risk of damaging the bearings and some other issues. And if the oil lubricates, but also controls the temperature too. So if you don't have that temperature at the right, where it should be, all of a sudden these timing chains start to stretch. And then now the engine's timing is off, and now the car is not running well, and it just kind of cascades into a very expensive repair, which can not always, but oftentimes easily be avoided by doing the oil change. You know, the other thing too is that these cars will start to use a little bit of oil, meaning it's burning it. You don't see it because the emission systems clean it, but you're burning oil, and I'd be hard-pressed to trust that a car could go 10,000 miles without needing a quart or two of oil. So that's the other area that we have to be careful is you wait 10,000 miles, now you go in, and it's down a couple quarts. Well, the engine's definitely not designed to operate like that.
No. In fact, I know we've had some listeners send in texts over the years of certain foreign-made cars that use. And I remember at the time I found it hard to believe, like they'd use a quart of oil every 800 miles, I thought. And the car was running. I mean, have you heard of such a thing?
There are certain makes and models that we'll see where they'll say it's acceptable to use a quart of oil in 1,000 miles. And, I don't think it is. You know, I mean, obviously, it used to be 3,000 miles. I think most any vehicle maker model can go 3,000 miles without using very measurable amount of oil. But you go to 5,000, 7,500, 10,000 miles, and that oil starts to break down. It's going to be low. So once again, 5,000 on a synthetic. If you're using conventional, 3,000 miles, that's a safe practice. It gets the car into the shop a couple times a year to make sure everything else is looking good and working well. That's best practice.
Looking at a text, I think it may be our last one or close to it, referring to oil, but it's an oil filter question. Basically, they're asking, do you get what you pay for? Are there big differences in the quality of oil filters?
I would say yes. Marketing has a lot to do with it. But
yeah,
if you're doing your own oil change, you're looking at the shelf and there's a good, better, best, definitely don't buy the least expensive one. It kind of falls in this line with the same thing. You spend an extra dollar or two, and there is a world of difference. Can you overdo it? Probably. There's a lot of brands out there, a lot of information there, and it's kind of hard to always find the truth. So I would say, you want to get the middle grade, upper grade filter. You don't have to overdo it. Same goes with the oil. I usually would tell people use a branded oil that you recognize. A lot of these house blend oils that are less expensive don't always fit the same criteria. So it's hard to know when you're not in the business. Worst case scenario, you're at the parts store, ask for help. If you're doing this on your own, ask for help. But I would say make sure you know the manufacturer, the brand, and don't buy the cheapest stuff on the shelf.
Yeah, that's a good point. One more question. A listener wants to know if he or she can change the engine air filter themselves, and how often should that be done, generally speaking? It doesn't say what kind of a car.
It used to be really easy. There was a wing nut at the top of the motor, and you'd take the cover off, and there it was.
That's right.
It's not like that anymore. And, if you have the tools, the expertise, willing to take the time, watch a few videos, I would promote everybody doing these things. But if you don't have the tools, you don't have the expertise, be careful, because there's a lot of plastic clips and fittings, and if you don't know how it came apart to put it back together, it absolutely can affect how the car runs. So do some research, ask a few questions, and then changing an oil filter is not going to ruin the vehicle, obviously. But I think it's good that people open the hood and get to see what's going on underneath there, so you have a little bit of familiarity with the vehicle. In the event that you do have a problem, you can be some help.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, a comment, not a question. Do you guys notice that your car runs better after you clean it? I think it's just happier. And I felt that way since I've been in high school, driving my brother's car, getting a wash. Hey, this thing runs better. I don't know. I've always felt that. Nick, we have to run. How do we find you guys at Lloyd's Automotive?
Yes, sir. So if you have any questions, need advice, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. Stop and say hi. And then, as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. Let's you and I join forces next Saturday. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thank you. Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next. Ted Farrell and his wine chat here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is another Saturday in CCO land when we talk cars, more specifically problems with yours, your car, your truck, your van, and if you need to bring yours in for service. But ahead of that, you want to know what could be wrong, what could be ailing. Why don't you give Nick Stoffel a text or a call? Nick happens to be an ASE certified technician that runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. He'd be glad to help you out via text or call. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How was your week?
It was a good week. You know, it cooled down a little bit, so it was a little nicer to be outside, and we're still plenty busy, so there's no problems there, and just going to enjoy the nice weekend.
And it's going to be nice, really nice, the next few days, really cooler, a lot cooler. In fact, we're at 55 right now, so it's fresh this morning. We can call it fresh. But I noticed that in my vehicle that sitting outside in cooler nights, I noticed, I know this may be a harbinger of things to come winter-wise, but the tire pressure, even though it's, you know, summertime, I noticed that it's getting cold, closer to that, what would you call that? That cold cold temperature, the PSI, that's whatever they call that.
What happens, as you know, as it cools and the air gets cold or gets a little bit lighter because the molecules are moving slower, so that pressure in our tires will adjust. And, you know, we're not quite there yet, but in a couple of months here, people will be calling up saying, my tire light is on. And I drive it on the way to the shop, it went off. Well, it's because as you lose just 1 or 2 pounds, it might be just enough to trigger that sensor in one of those wheels that will turn that light on. And we see it every fall. It's kind of part of the winter's coming, so get ready. The tire light popped on, so you can adjust your tire pressures.
Now, we've talked about this a dozen times. If you want to know what your tire pressure should be cold, you know, before you get underway, you can look right in that, what would you call that, the door jamb or the post, like you open the driver's door and you see all this information there?
Correct. It's in the owner's manual also, but it,
yeah, that's
places, true. Open the driver's door right at the base of the door, kind of like you said, that door jamb there. You'll see like a placard there, and it'll have a lot of information, but you'll see something that say cold PSI, and that's the tire pressure when the car's sitting there. It will adjust a couple, few PSI at the most after you drive it for a while. So it's kind of a guideline. You know, you don't have to be right exactly at that 31 or 34 or whatever it says. But if you're within a pound or two, you're probably just fine.
Is it wise to not overinflate your tires, but, you know, for kind of rolling, whatever they call that, constriction, you know, for ease of rolling, should tires be inflated a little more than what it's supposed to be? You know what I'm getting at.
No, absolutely. You know, it depends. You know, a couple PSI you probably don't notice. You get any more than that, and then the ride of the vehicle might change. It might feel like it's harsher or a little more bumpier as you go down the road. You definitely don't want to overinflate them. You definitely don't want to be 10 pounds over what that placard says. But if you're, you know, 2, 3, 4 pounds, I don't think that makes much of a difference. One thing that'll help is that, you know, as it gets the cycling of the hot and cold, you probably don't have to worry about that tire light coming on as easy. So I would personally go a couple pounds more than what that placard says, just to avoid that annoyance of that light popping out when you start driving in the morning.
Yeah, it's a good idea. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to call and chat with Nick, great. If you want to just send a text like some folks are doing, that'd be great too. Here's the number for either 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, we always like to say we like to hear from you earlier, sooner rather than later, because Nick will be taking his leave about 30 minutes from now. Our time goes by rather quickly. So call us, text us, either way, 651-461-9226, whatever car care question might be on your mind. Here's one, text-wise. My car is used mostly for city driving. Should I take it out on the highway or freeway on occasion? That's a good question.
I think that's a good idea. You know, it's you want to try to use most of the systems in the vehicle. You know, so even it's you know, if it's summertime, maybe you're not doing as much highway driving or wintertime, however that goes. But if you're getting it up to speed, that allows the engine transmission to cycle through all the gears, get the engine RPM get a little bit higher, a little sustained load, helps exhaust heat all the way through, which will burn off all that condensation. Because if you're doing short trips, as that engine's running, it creates moisture. And if that moisture doesn't get a chance to burn off, it's going to stay in the exhaust, which can create some rust. So I think it is a good idea every so often to get out on the highway and let the car, you know, spread its wings a little bit and clear a few things out.
Okay, very good. We're going to break here in a moment, but I'm going to grab it.
Let the car, you know, spread its wings a little bit and clear a few things out.
Okay, very good. We're going to break here in a moment, but I'm going to grab another text. Our 2017 Jeep is stored all winter. Should I pull the battery and hook up the trickle charger or leave it in the car and connect the charger?
It's probably a lot easier just to leave it in the vehicle. You don't have to worry about the hardware, how to reassemble it. You know, if it's a somewhat of a climate-controlled environment, if it's an attached garage or something like that, you're probably a little bit better off. But and don't use like a charger, just one of those little trickle maintainers where it's kind of floating with an amp or so, just to kind of maintain the battery. I wouldn't leave like a real battery charger on a vehicle unattended for a long period of time. But that's probably the easiest thing is a little battery tender. Leave it in the vehicle, and it'll be fine.
Here we are, Nick, August 10th, and we're talking about storing vehicles for the winter. Oh, well, it's good information, however. I'll tell you what, let's do this. I'm getting a signal we need to take a break. So let's do this, invite our listeners to join in. Any kind of a car question, we'd love to hear from you. If you drive and you have problems with your car, your truck, your van, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. 55 degrees in the Twin Cities on our way to near 72. It's going to be a nice day today. 78 tomorrow here in the Twin Cities. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, answering any kind of a car care question that might be on your mind. Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive, is answering those questions. Nick, for those that may be down the road, pardon the expression, might need the help of all your technicians and you at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yeah, if you ever have a question, need advice or guidance the best we can, give us a call, 651-228-1316. If you're on Grand Avenue, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. That's 982 Grand. And as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll get you that information just before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. I'd like to thank a listener who has helped me, because I was looking as far as the tires. Denny, the word you were looking for was rolling resistance. Yes, that is the phrase. Thank you for reminding me of that. Another text, Nick, says this. I have a 2021 Honda Accord. If I put my fingers in the exhaust pipe, there's a black substance. Does this mean my car is running rich, and is it a problem?
A little bit's not, and you know, it's hard to gauge it. Usually, if there's an issue, we'll see that black soot make its way to the bumper, or like, it's very significant. So there's going to be some, you know, you're burning fuel. There's going to be a little bit of carbon. There's going to be some of the, a little bit of that blackness. It'll be coated. I doubt it's an issue. And quite honestly, if the vehicle is running that rich, you would have a check engine light to accompany that soot. So I'm sure it's just normal. I wouldn't be worried.
All right. Very good. Again, 651-461-9226. Another text. Cruise control on my 2021 Dodge Ram works sometimes, but other times won't work. What could be causing this?
You know, likely there's an input. You know, the computer's monitoring a lot of different inputs. You know, cruise control is a nice luxury and a nice feature, but it's also something they want to control because you don't want it to have it not shut off or accelerate or have some sort of issue with it. So the first thing we would do is check the history in the computer to see if there's any data or any codes letting us know that there's one of these sensors that's misreading that intermittently might create that where it's not working. So I would, next time you're in for service or whatever you have going on to the vehicle, have them check for history codes, see if there's something that could affect the cruise control, and I would start there.
Okay. Listener says this via text. Hi, I have a 2012 Lexus ES350. Which has developed a, quote, tweeting noise after starting it cold in the morning. I lifted the hood and the tweeting is on the passenger side, but I cannot see what equipment is beneath it. The noise does disappear after driving a couple of minutes. Do you have any thoughts about what that could be?
Usually, you know, something rotating, maybe it's a belt or an idler pulley, you know, obviously without hearing it, it's just a guess. But we deal with this all the time, and, you know, most shops do. It's a struggle, and, you know, when you make the appointment, you get there, the noise is gone. So maybe the solution is to drop it at the shop the night before so they can be the first folks to start it in the morning and be able to hear that and pinpoint that. I mean, we'll literally have the car up in the air and have a long screwdriver, a stethoscope, and kind of pointing to different areas and trying to pinpoint that, because noises will kind of bounce around under the hood. You know, you might think it's in one corner, then it's in the other, and sometimes you're chasing your tail a bit. But I would suggest dropping it the night before, have them start a cold, and hopefully they can find the source of the noise.
I wonder how many people, and we talk about this from time to time, and I probably am just as guilty as anybody. I wonder how many of us check our oil, you know, from time to time.
Yeah, none of us probably, very few.
Yeah.
Well, remember, you'd go to the filling station, you would see people checking oil and tires,
yeah,
and,
you know, things. Cleaning your windshield.
Yeah, I mean, things have gotten, we've gotten so comfortable in assuming that the car's going to tell us, and for the most part, the cars do let us know what's going on, but it's not a bad idea to check the oil or walk around the vehicle when it's filling up, you know, open the hood, make sure there's, you know, no debris or a nest or, you know, anything. You know, it's just, you know, cars are very expensive, we rely on them more than we realize, and if we can avoid any kind of mishap, it's probably in our favor.
I'm looking at another text before we get to it. I took the advantage of this nice, fresh, cool weather, and I washed and waxed. I suppose you could call it kind of a minor detail job on my car yesterday. Perfect day for it. It wasn't windy. It wasn't humid. It was, you know, cool, especially in the shade. And I was thinking, and then a listener sent a text about, and I'm thinking this too, cleaning my engine. I thought, well, I know you guys do that at Lloyd's, but can the homeowner safely, I'm not about to try that. I'd probably leave it up to you guys, but can a homeowner do that? I mean, a do-it-yourselfer.
You can. You know, my hesitation is, you know, don't take a pressure washer under the hood. You got to know where you can and cannot spray water directly. Obviously, a lot of things are going to get wet, but we don't want to get air or water into that air intake. We don't want water getting into the engine. Some of the electronics, you know, things are made pretty hardy. You know, we live in a climate where, you know, everything falls out of the sky and it comes up from underneath. But that doesn't mean that it's designed to have you just taking the garden hose and just hosing things down. So if you're comfortable, you're going to, you know, rinse it down, wipe it down. You know, it's a simple process. Yes, you can handle it. But I just would be very careful. If I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm spraying water, I'd probably not advise doing that.
Nick, would you ever use some kind of a degreaser at all?
If you have a floor drain or for a place for it to go, because
you got
to remember that residue will be left on the driveway and, you know, or in your garage, and you're not going to want that. So, you know, at the shop, we have floor drains. We have a trap, so it collects all that stuff so it doesn't just flow away. You know, and you can, there's some stuff that's a little more environmental friendly, you know, you can probably try. But I would make sure you only use products as they're intended, as we've talked in the past about the headlights and other things. So, you know, I would do a little research. You know, obviously you want to look nice and clean under the hood. There's probably some light detergent that you can put on there that, you know, it's just almost like soap, you know, and a nice rinse, and maybe you can wipe it down or dry it down, make it look nice and fresh again. No problem there. Just be careful not to go too far.
All right. Tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break for that forecast, see what the weather's going to be like the next few days and the rest of this weekend. Nick's going to be with us for about another 15 minutes or so, so don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. Either a phone call or a text. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, again answering all of those car care questions. He'll be with us for a few more minutes. Nick, I'm looking at a text. Interesting question. Would a shop like Lloyd's, texter says, ever do welding to prolong the life of an older car rather than replacing it with expensive new parts?
Well, that's a big maybe. You know, we're not going to get into like welding a frame, anything safety related. We'd refer you to like a frame shop, you know, because we just don't have the expertise or the tooling. But you know, we do weld exhaust and some other items in areas that do need repair and to help prolong the life. So that's a maybe. You know, you can check with your local shop and probably not a dealership. That's probably not what their path or their expertise. But you can all look online. There are frame shops, if that's where the issue lies, around town here that can probably help and get a look and an assessment, do a patch tray or whatever might be needed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good question. 2008 Toyota Sienna, texter writes, with a moonroof that is leaking into the interior. Texter says, I've looked for the drain hole and line to clean them, but I can't locate them. The manual doesn't provide any information. Do you have any suggestions?
Typically, there's a drain in each corner. Most vehicles, that drain will, like, the drain will go from the corner and kind of down the pillar between the windshield and the driver's door and passenger door. And at the base or somewhere in the door jamb, you'll see a little rubber hose or fitting sticking out that will allow it to drain that debris or water, whatever might be in there. My advice, though, is as far as I would tell a listener is, you know, you can get the sunroof, moonroof open, kind of clean all the debris around there. There's a rubber seal that kind of helps protect it and keep the wind noise and the water out. Make sure that's good and clean. I would advise you not to force air through there. Reason being, if there is a restriction there and you blow too hard, you might blow that hose off. And then you'd go from having a little bit of water coming in through the headliner to a lot of water. So if you can clean it, try to get any debris out of there, even take a cup of water and kind of pour it as you're standing there watching and see where the water is going. And if it's making its way to that little hole and it's not going away, I'd probably, best advice is call your repair shop, have them take a look at it, because you don't want to create a bigger problem in that situation.
And you guys have done that from time to time at Lloyd's, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. And there's different makes and models over the years where they had some issues with those drains. And there's been some repairs and some improvements to kind of prevent that. But, you know, as the seasons change and there's more stuff falling out of these trees, you'll see that there's a lot more of those types of concerns because a lot of debris will collect in there and kind of plug it up.
Speaking of that, and I know we've addressed this in past shows, as far as that area by the windshield wipers outside, should that be like shop vac'd or cleaned out from time to time? I look at mine, and I thought, man, there's stuff collecting in there.
You know, absolutely. And even go as far as opening the hood, and then you have the area on the outside and then the area just on the inside of the hood at that same base. A lot of times that's where the air intake is for your air conditioning and your heating. So there's a lot of debris there that's kind of breaking down or decomposing. You might create a bit of a smell on the air coming into the vehicle. You can also restrict air flow, so you might not have a good blowing air coming through it, whether it be heat or air conditioning. So, you know, these little things, you know, back to when you're getting, filling up the car with fuel and you're sitting there, you know, walk around the car, look at the base of the windshield, open the hood, check the oil, look at the inside of that cowl area. If there's any debris, just, you know, pick it up and throw it in the trash can.
Hey, there's an idea. Check the oil. Kind of what we talked about at the beginning of the show. Now, here is a topic we've talked about a number of times. As far as, well, this referring to a VW, but asking, will the oil last 10,000 miles? Well, we hear a lot of that no matter what the who the manufacturer is. What do you think, personally? I know what you're going to say, but 10,000 miles before you change oil, what's your opinion of that?
I believe that the oils and the engineers are smarter than you and I both, and I believe that they can prove that it can do that and last that length. I also know from my first world experience, being in a shop every day, that we do a lot more mechanical type repairs because of oil. I think if you run a synthetic oil, I think 5,000 miles is kind of the threshold. If you're still using conventional oil, it's probably 3,000 miles. We just do so much timing work on these engines because of lubrication and heat and sludge and all these things that can happen from that extensive length. So, you know, do what's best for you, obviously, but I can't stress enough. I think the simplest thing you can do for your car is change the oil. And if you look over the life of a vehicle or over a couple of years, it's an extra oil change or two, so it's not going to break the bank, but it'll make your car very happy and help it last a lot longer.
Oh, yeah, that's cheap maintenance for sure. Well, what have you seen in your experience or the guys there at Lloyd's as far as people maybe not changing the oil either ever or not for a real long period of time? What does that oil look like?
It looks like you left the coffee on and didn't shut off the coffee pot. You know, it's just, and you can't clean it. I mean, you can, you know, that's the next problem. So you have this, you take the valve cover off, you have all the sludge, but if you start trying to remove that, now you're at the risk of damaging the bearings and some other issues. And if the oil lubricates, but also controls the temperature too. So if you don't have that temperature at the right, where it should be, all of a sudden these timing chains start to stretch. And then now the engine's timing is off, and now the car is not running well, and it just kind of cascades into a very expensive repair, which can not always, but oftentimes easily be avoided by doing the oil change. You know, the other thing, too, is that these cars will start to use a little bit of oil, meaning it's burning it. You don't see it because the emission systems clean it, but you're burning oil, and I'd be hard-pressed to trust that a car could go 10,000 miles without needing a quart or two of oil. So that's the other area that we have to be careful is you wait 10,000 miles, now you go in, and it's down a couple quarts. Well, the engine's definitely not designed to operate like that.
No. In fact, I know we've had some listeners send in text over the years of certain foreign-made cars that use. And I remember at the time I found it hard to believe, like they'd use a quart of oil every 800 miles, I thought. And the car was running. I mean, have you heard of such a thing?
There are certain makes and models that we'll see where they'll say it's acceptable to use a quart of oil in 1,000 miles. And I don't think it is. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, it used to be 3,000 miles. I think most any vehicle maker model can go 3,000 miles without using very measurable amount of oil. But you go to 5,000, 7,500, 10,000 miles, and that oil starts to break down. It's going to be low. So I, you know, once again, 5,000 on a synthetic. If you're using conventional, 3,000 miles, that's a safe practice. It gets the car into the shop a couple times a year to make sure everything else is looking good and working well. That's best practice.
Looking at a text, I think it may be our last one or close to it, referring to oil, but it's an oil filter question. Basically, they're asking, do you get what you pay for? Are there big differences in the quality of oil filters?
You know, I would say yes. You know, marketing has a lot to do with it. But
yeah,
if you're doing your own oil change, you're looking at the shelf and there's good, better, best, you know, definitely don't buy the least expensive one. You know, it kind of falls in line with the same thing. You spend an extra dollar or two, and there's a world of difference. Can you overdo it? Probably. You know, there's a lot of brands out there, a lot of information there, and it's kind of hard to always find the truth. So I would say, you know, you want to get the middle grade, upper grade filter. You don't have to overdo it. Same goes with the oil. I usually would tell people use a branded oil that you recognize. A lot of these house blend oils that are less expensive don't always fit the same criteria. So I'd, you know, it's hard to know when you're not in the business. You know, worst case scenario, you're at the parts store, ask for help. You know, if you're doing this on your own, ask for help. But I would say make sure you know the manufacturer, the brand, and don't buy the cheapest stuff on the shelf.
Yeah, that's a good point. One more question. A listener wants to know if he or she can change the engine air filter themselves, and how often should that be done, generally speaking? It doesn't say what kind of a car.
It used to be really easy. There was a wing nut at the top of the motor, and you'd take the cover up, and there it was.
Right.
It's not like that anymore. And, you know, if you have the tools, the expertise, willing to take the time, watch a few videos, I would promote everybody doing these things. But if you don't have the tools, you don't have the expertise, be careful, because there's a lot of plastic clips and fittings, and if you don't know how it came apart to put it back together, it absolutely can affect how the car runs. So do some research, ask a few questions, and then changing an oil filter is not going to ruin the vehicle, obviously. But I think it's good that people open the hood and get to see what's going on underneath there, so you have a little bit of familiarity with the vehicle. In the event that you do have a problem, you can be some help.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, a comment, not a question. Do you guys notice that your car runs better after you clean it? I think it's just happier. And I felt that way since I've been in high school, driving my brother's car, getting it washed. Hey, this thing runs better. I don't know. I've always felt that. Nick, we have to run. How do we find you guys at Lloyd's Automotive?
Yes, sir. So if you have any questions, need advice, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. Stop and say hi. And then, as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. Let's you and I join forces next Saturday. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thank you. Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next. Ted Farrell and his wine chat here on News Talk 830 WCCO.